For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, after a exhilarating and very promising qualifying in the wet yesterday, it delivered a sprint race that gave us about two laps of exciting sprint racing. Welcome to the Grid Talk podcast, and today we are here to review the 2024 Chinese Grand Prix sprint race. My name is Louis Edwards, and today joining me we have Monkey Seat and fellow Grid Talk co-host Tom Horrocks.
Hello.
F1 writer Jawad Yaqub.
Hi there.
And F1 journalist Dev Tyagi.
Hi guys, good to be here.
So before we get into the episode, we must of course thank our sponsor, Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all of your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. Bet Online continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games, available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use the promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, where the game starts. Okay, well, we've got to dig through this sprint race, and to be honest, there isn't a lot to dig through, was there, Tom? I mean, Shanghai, you know, is returned to the calendar, first time in 5 years. You know, they give it a sprint race, try and, you know, the event, but it wasn't that exciting, and it was pretty much like sprint races of old.
Yeah, it was a little bit. It's good. Thank God for the usual Alonso bottleneck, giving us a little bit of action. He's incredibly good at driving slowly, that Fernando Alonso. But no, it's, I didn't expect, given when you've got no tyre offset and you've got no strategy coming into play, sprints are never going to be, unless you have people making ridiculous lunges, you're never going to have any major form of action because they're just lining up in the order in which that they are fastest to slowest, and there's no strategy to come into it. It's just a flat out race. So I don't think we're ever going to have epic strategy races when it comes to sprints. It's only going to be when you've got mixed up conditions and drama that we're going to see anything special. So not really unexpected, but still fascinating to watch and gives us some good data for the race.
Yeah. And Jared, of course, we've had a new sprint format. They keep changing the sprint format every year. So of course, they only had free practice and qualifying yesterday. This is really the first time the teams have been able to get a good gauge of their car, because, you know, free practice one is going to give them nothing. Qualifying was completely mixed, and today was the only time they've had some sort of good running. So how much do you think this is still going to affect the teams going to qualifying later?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because we've obviously had that change coming. Parc Fermé being opened up so that they can make adjustments to the car ahead of the qualifying for the Grand Prix. So, you know, like Tom said, gathering data would have been key to the sprint race. I would have preferred it much if they were able to push flat out and we could have a proper sprint rather than being involved in tyre management. But, you know, that's a conversation for a separate day. But yeah, the fact that we get Parc Fermé opened up and whatever teams have learnt from these conditions. We don't know also that qualifying could be wet later today as well. So that will throw a lot of that information out the window, how they set up the car. So, you know, it very much feels like the strongest format in terms of the sprint weekend that we've had so far in the 3-4 years that we've had the sprint races, because we still got the attention very much on Grand Prix qualifying and then the Grand Prix, rather than it being an afterthought and then waiting till Sunday for the race to rock round. So yeah, it's going to be quite intriguing to see how teams approach it, particularly because this is the first weekend for 2024 that we've got this sprint format.
Exactly. We definitely still plenty to play for. So Dev, we'll get stuck into the actual action for today. Fernando Alonso was the only DNF, but we will touch on Aston Martin a little bit later. So we'll start with Haas. Nico Hülkenberg, P19. Kevin Magnussen, P10. Hülkenberg had a promising start. I think he might have got some damage because he absolutely dropped like a lead balloon. And Magnussen, after being passed by Russell, was holding on from Ricciardo. It was a good effort by Magnussen today to get in the top 10, but I guess that's no points on the board.
Yeah, it's a bit of an unfortunate situation given the point system that despite finishing a strong P10, you don't even bag a solitary point. But I think Hülkenberg would be disappointed because I think he was the better of the Haas drivers, particularly at the start, as you rightly mentioned. And then finishing 19th, you know, I don't know. What do you say? The consolation is that you finish ahead of Fernando Alonso, who registered a DNF. Probably that's not really any gains of that sort. But yeah, I mean, you know, As Tom also rightly pointed out, that, you know, when you have stronger teams and in contention, and then a sprint can only tell you very limited stuff because, you know, there's hardly any time to plan out your strategies. You know, there's no time to actually, you only lose time if you pit. So it's just kind of a very tiny sort of a curtain raiser to what an actual Grand Prix weekend would look like. And in that aspect, I think that's all that Haas could do. Not much, I think. Psychologically, they would be happy that at least one of their cars finished ahead of, you know, the junior Red Bull team. And that's pretty much about it for me.
It definitely does give them a little bit of encouragement if they can stay in the top 10. Of course, as I said, it's no points today, but that could translate to points tomorrow. It's definitely still something that Haas will be thinking about. So, Tom, we'll go to the team that, well, I think were just generally the worst team on the grid today. Yeah, apart from Hülkenberg, which, as I said, I think he might have had some damage from an earlier incident. Alex Albon, 17th. Logan Sargeant, 18th. Just looks like that Williams does not like this track.
Yeah, it's a little surprising, actually. I thought Williams were going to be a little bit more on the competitive side, but it's very worryingly the slowest car at this track, which, as you alluded to there, I mean, Sargeant only finishing ahead of Hülkenberg, Albon just ahead of him, just dropping down from not really a great starting position anyway, to be honest. So starting 17th and 18th finishing 18th and 20th. Sorry, finishing 17th and 19th from an 18th and 20th start. So it's really not looking great for Williams on this circuit, which, again, I find very surprising. But yeah, it's difficult when you've got 19 laps and there's the only action really is in the top 10. We've not really seen anything from them. The only bits we did see was of Albon being overtaken, really. So, yeah, disappointing from Williams. And I think it's going to be damage limitation for them. But if we do get any mixed up conditions, which at the moment it isn't forecast to rain for the race, but it wasn't forecast to rain really for the sprint quali either. So we'll just keep some fingers crossed for some craziness action in the unpredictable climate in China.
Certainly is unpredictable. And yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. It was slightly worrying that the Williams are this slow. It looks like they were, you know, making some, you know, improvements. Albon's getting some good qualifying. Qualifying yesterday was pretty poor. The race today was poor. And I'm not got the most hope for a good qualifying later on. So, Jawad, we'll move now on to the RBs. Yuki Tsunoda. It was a poor qualifying from Yuki Tsunoda yesterday, 19th, recovered up to 16th. But Daniel Ricciardo, P11, really chasing down Kevin Magnussen at the end, came very, very close, but Magnussen put up a hell of a defence. It's better from Daniel Ricciardo. Two sessions, you know, well, actually three straight sessions in a row now that he's been ahead of Yuki Tsunoda. It's certainly going to give him more momentum going into qualifying and then the race tomorrow.
Absolutely. And I guess there should be no less expectation given that he is a former Grand Prix winner here back in 2018 as well. And can remember in that race, you know, that's where we got textbook Ricciardo last on the late breakers, such amazing overtake. So, you know, it's good to see him use, you know, the momentum that he has gained in these sessions so far and ultimately gain confidence from that. Because as much as I am very critical of him and where he's at the moment in his career, I don't want him to, you know, to his career to end on a whimper as it is at the moment. So if he can kind of put up one last hurrah, then that would be great. And yeah, why nowhere better than a circuit that he's won at before. On Tsunoda as well, great that he was able to make up a few positions in the sprint too. Ultimately he came to nothing given that, you know, nowhere near the top 10. But yeah, he was quite self-critical, or, you know, very critical of something yesterday after the sprint, or after sprint qualifying, as we heard on the radio. So, you know, it's nice to see that they stayed out of trouble. And then for Ricciardo, now that's going to give him confidence that he could probably go out there, set a lap in quali, you know, probably at the sharp end of Q2, or possibly even be pushing a Q3 berth. And then come the race, you know, could he notch up his first points of the season? I think that's going to be a deserved shot in the arm for him.
Yeah, it's definitely some encouragement from Ricciardo. But you know, it's still no points, so he's going to have to show what he's got in qualifying later, and then, of course, see if he can actually make up that extra position and get a point in the race. Dev, Alpine. Now, I'll be honest, 13th and 15th may not look great for Alpine, but this is definitely better from what we've seen in the past. They started down in 16th and 17th, Gasly 16th, Ocon 17th, but Ocon managed to go up all the way to 13th, finish ahead of the Aston Martin of Lance Stroll, and then Pierre Gasly just behind the Aston Martin in 15th. Not great, but I don't think you could say it was terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. I think this is going to definitely add on to a bit of a confidence, which they completely have been devoid of so far this season. I think the two things which are going to really weigh in on their minds is where exactly do they stand as far as the 2024 driver standings are concerned at this point. So you find Ocon on P18th, Gasly P19th, nowhere near even in throwing some good punches at the other midfielders. And essentially, they're not even midfielders, they're the back markers. So 18th and 19th is, and you know, funny as it may sound, accidental Formula One newcomer Ollie Bearman has 6 points to his name. So he has scored more points than these two experienced drivers, who, for little fault of their own, have been armed with a car which is less of a car and more of a tractor. So I think it's just been appalling for Alpine this season. And I mean, I'm just surprised completely because, you know, if you look at their previous seasons, this is where they have delivered stronger cars, you know, cars which have functioned on high downforce and great aerodynamics packages in the past. And then suddenly it just all begins to tear apart this season. And they're saying that they won't even be able to expect any upgrades until the 8th or the 9th Grand Prix begins this season, right? So I think, realistically speaking, what they do at this race weekend and out here in Shanghai depends a lot more on the other drivers erring in the race than their own fights. But let's see what happens. It still could be an interesting race, as Tom said earlier, that, you know, the overcast weather conditions, just about anything could happen. But yeah, little gains here in the sprint.
Yeah, the thing is, I think it's encouraging. You know, qualifying was a bit of a mixed bag with the grip and... But, you know, race is a different thing. And, you know, they both kept their noses clean. They both, you know, got those overtakes, both, you know, made progress. And I think that's all that really Alpine can hope for from Ocon and Gasly, is keeping their nose clean, making forward progress and taking advantage of where other teams are faltering. So, Tom, we'll now move on to Aston Martin. So, Lance Stroll, pretty dismal qualifying yesterday, 15th, finished 14th. And that was because his teammate retired. And Fernando Alonso got a good start into P2 after the first corner stuff. Held on for as long as he could. Got overtaken by Max Verstappen. Then created an absolute train behind him with the two Ferraris, Checo Perez and Lando Norris in pursuit. And fought so hard that he popped his front right tyre.
Yeah, not a great race for me to change my overriding opinion of Alonso. Alonso's a fantastic talent, we know that, but I just think sometimes he gets involved in fights that are just not, you know, not worthy fights. Like, it tends to be if he's fighting with Hamilton, then he'll fight twice as hard as if he's fighting anyone else. And if he's holding on to a position, he was on there for a good, you know, 5-6 points, and then he's just thrown them away with a ridiculous lunge on the inside of Sainz. I mean, to be honest, it was fine because it caused brilliant chaos behind, but it ended his race, and ultimately it lost Sainz a couple of positions as well because it was definitely damage to Sainz there. But that was I know we're not talking about Ferrari here, but, you know, brilliant from Sainz. I'm sure we'll talk about that later on, and very unfortunate with what happened after, but I'll leave whoever talks about Ferrari to talk about that. Lance Stroll, yeah, a net loss of one position, realistically, because he gained one, but his teammate retired, and then Hülkenberg started ahead of him and then fell like a stone. So realistically, he's actually got a net loss of one position, which with, you know, the pace that Alonso had in that car up front, that's not really great. I do think that, again, with the sprint format, as Lewis alluded to in his post-race interview as well, you're not realistically going to be able to move forwards in the race, even if you have the pace, because of just the way that the sprint format is. It's not gonna promote being able to fight through the field unless you have a huge car advantage like Verstappen had to go from fourth to the win. So yeah, not great from Aston Martin there, but that car is quick, so that's something to take into the race. They've got good qualifying form, and odds are if they've got a decent strategy, they can get a quick qualifying lap in. They may well get some decent points. So it's all down to qualifying. But I think it's certainly, having had a race before we have qualifying, I think it gives us a better idea going into qualifying then. So it gives us more to digest after qualifying. So I think it will add to the overall picture of the race. So it's more data, but it's race data, which I prefer to three practice sessions. So yeah, I still think this is a better format overall.
Yeah, it kind of was a bit of a wasted opportunity for Fernando. It would have just been solid points. And as for Lance Stroll, it's Lance Stroll. We'll see what he does, I guess. I think that's what we all say. Jawad, we'll move on to Sauber. Amazing qualifying for a start yesterday. And I think a lot of people may have predicted them to start dropping. I know it's only a 19-lap race, but I think people would have seen maybe the RBs or even maybe Lance Stroll might have come through. But no, Zhou Guanyu finished ninth, just one place out of point scoring. And Valtteri Bottas, P12. I mean, in a race with no pit stops, they've done quite all right.
I think you hit the nail on the head there with what has been Sauber's Achilles heel so far this season is the pit stops. So you would have thought that take that out of a race, then surely they'll do all right. And they have. And look, I don't think it's been talked about much, but Bottas did lose part of his front wing end plate. And I'm not sure who the contact was with, but suggestion is that it might have been his teammate. Need to watch a replay to know for sure. But yeah, the fact that he still came home in 12th. Okay, Tom Horrocks has just confirmed it was his teammate that he made contact with. So yeah, the fact that that still happened and, you know, Bottas came home 12th, Joe just agonizingly out of the points, I guess. It will be encouraging, you know, going into the actual GP tomorrow that, you know, they've got this sort of pace that they can deal with. But then you bring pit stops into the equation and then things get a bit tricky. So I think, you know, if there was a chance for Joe to score points on home soil, today would have been it. I'd like to be proven wrong tomorrow, but, you know, they kept out of trouble apart from obviously the contact early on and, you know, didn't plummet through the field like many of us would have expected. So, yeah, and in the end, what was it, six or so seconds off George Russell, who did score points, albeit he was on soft tyres as well. That kind of came to him towards the end of the race. So not a bad job from Sauber at the end.
No, definitely. I wouldn't send any criticism the way of Sauber this weekend. So far, it's been quite good. You know, we're seeing Joe's really taking that home confidence and trying to do as best he can. And I think it's going to be very encouraging for Sauber if Joe can get a good, at least a points finish or a good qualifying later on. Dev, we'll now move on to McLaren. And I guess we have to address the big papaya elephant in the room of where do you reckon Lando would have finished the race if he maybe had raced a little smarter at turn one and slotted in behind Lewis instead of trying to fight around the outside?
I reckon definitely a top five finish was on the cards, because I think definitely, despite all the racing prowess that he so naturally possesses, he's got a bit of racing smarts in there as well. But of course, you know, things change dramatically when you have Stallworth and Lewis Hamilton catching up and actually racing side by side, going into this really strong wheel-to-wheel action. But Lando Norris definitely has a penchant for picking up drivers later in the race. And I think given the unpredictability of the surface and drivers not really having too much of a very recent experience there, because the last that they raced here in China was, remember, half a decade back in time, I think Lando Norris would have definitely made it to maybe like a P4 or P5. And he's had so much of experience racing with his former teammate Carlos Sainz. So I'm sure he would have drawn something in from there. But yeah, I mean, I feel sad for him, because definitely, you know, it's one thing to be a strong contender in a battle, and then definitely to begin a race as the front runner. A full kudos to him. But unfortunately, it wasn't the papaya elephant's day today. But definitely, qualifying could be different now that he's got some idea. Even though a dainty one at that of 19 laps, definitely there are some lessons to take in. And the race, I mean, qualify hard for maybe a P4 or a P3, or who knows, maybe he could be the guy who could be giving Max Verstappen a good challenge, because we know Lando, he's always up for a fight. And I expect something strong from him in what lies ahead.
Yeah, and also mentioned to Oscar Piastri, started P8, finished P7th, only gained because of Alonso. Had a huge pace deficit to Lando. It really wasn't particularly brilliant, but he managed to hold off George Russell at the end. And I guess some people might have seen it as a little bit of karma for qualifying yesterday for what happened to Lando, but I'm not getting into that. So, Tom, you asked for Ferrari, you wanted to know who got Ferrari, and Well, Tom, it's going to be you. So, I mean, you had a lot of praise for Carlos Sainz. Did have a bit of a ding-dong with Charles Leclerc at the hairpin. You know your defending was bad when even Nico Rosberg is saying, yeah, you didn't hit the apex and you kind of pushed your teammate off, which led to him to admit what he did in Austria 2016.
I didn't think of that. Yeah, I didn't see the Rosberg's comments, actually, to be honest. So I wish I had now heard that, because that's brilliant. No, yeah, Sainz did really well. Leclerc held in there. I mean, everyone was just stuck in that train. He defended well from Norris at the start, and Norris looked like he had much more pace than Leclerc in those early laps, and he held them off. So that was great. But then Sainz was really pushing on Verstappen and had a couple of goes at him, was looking racy. But then Verstappen, once his battery issue had evened out, he just checked out. And yeah, it looked like he was pushing Alonso. He was pushing. He was the move was done. Let's be honest. I think we all agree the move was done. And then, as I said before about Alonso, ridiculous lunge, just didn't know when to give up. A bit of desperation there. And then he's got damage as a result of that. So he's been put massively on the back foot. He's already falling back. He's still getting used to the difference in the car with the damage. And then his teammate's got a run on him, which is absolutely fine. You know, he's put himself in a strong position, and then he's just gone a bit deep and he has made contact with Leclerc. And if there is any blame to be apportioned, it's definitely blamed on Sainz, but I do see it as a racing incident, just a little bit rude between teammates. But I genuinely think he didn't go into that corner saying, I'm going to push my teammate off track. He went into the corner saying, I'm going to defend hard, but then just didn't quite have the grip to make the apex as he was intending. So I think they'll sort that out in the garages afterwards. I don't think it'll be like the start of a eruption from Ferrari or anything like that, but they do look like they've got pace for the race. I don't think anyone's got the pace of the Red Bull. It's just a worrying pace for them, but I think it's positive for the race that they are going to have some pace and hopefully, depending on what happens in qualifying, bring the fight to whoever they're fighting with, whoever that will be, because I've got no idea at the moment.
Yeah, it definitely was encouraging, because I was expecting Lando to maybe come back a bit after turn one and start fighting, but no, Charles did a good job. And yeah, I mean, there's so many incidents of that hairpin today, with so many drivers either going wide, you know, Leclerc had a bit of a moment, also Stroll sort of midway through the race went really wide at that the hairpin. There's just no grip. The track temperature and all this new surface has definitely thrown up heaps of unpredictability for these drivers, and they're really having to manage their grip levels, really. So Jared, we'll talk about Mercedes. And you know, it was a bold strategy for Mercedes to stick at Russell instead of softs. It paid off. He dropped down He dropped a bit at the start, but managed to find his way, and he was really close to the back of Piastri. And then Lewis Hamilton, amazing start, defended incredibly well from Lando, and did everything he could when that car, you could tell, really just didn't have the pace that maybe the Red Bulls and even maybe like the Ferraris too, but P2 and P8 is 2-point scoring positions.
Yeah, definitely. And with Russell to begin with, yeah, it looked like it may have backfired there at the start where he did lose positions. Normally the soft tire makes you have better grip off the line and, you know, you make up ground in the opening laps, but no, it didn't happen. It kind of worked in reverse for him. And then he did kind of come back towards the end of the race, putting moves on Bottas and Magnussen to get into that top eight to score that point. And then with Lewis, like, I couldn't help but feeling quite sad when Max did put the move on him ultimately, because, you know, Hamilton's usually in a car that's capable of putting up a fight where, you know, you got a driver with all the ability, all the talent in the world, and just no confidence in his machinery, not able to put up a fight or put up any kind of defense to come back at Max. So you're kind of like, you know that he's capable of doing it, but just doesn't have the car to. So, you know, from there, it was very much, yep, sayonara, off you go, Max, and pull out your margin and win the race. But I think, you know, for Hamilton, hopefully there will be a bit of confidence gained from that, because the Sky team made no kind of secret of bringing up the fact that Mercedes haven't had a top four finish all year so far this season. So the fact that, yeah, in a sprint that he's finished P2, collects a trophy, I think it will bring some confidence. And yeah, you know, it just shows you how, I guess, close that battle behind Red Bull is between four different teams, when you've got, you know, all four of them effectively scrapping for the same piece of tarmac. And ultimately, I guess Hamilton was safe that he was further ahead of Alonso and the Ferraris and Perez as well. But, you know, got to take the results as they come, particularly in these circumstances. And yeah, on a normal day, I don't think Mercedes would be capable at the moment of getting up that high. But yeah, they've got to take it as it comes. So sad for Lewis that he couldn't hang on. But at the end of the day, it's trophy points in the bag, as you said, with both drivers. So yeah, they've just got to take it as a positive.
Yeah, it can only be a positive. It was, you know, maybe unexpected that he was going to be on the front row, and to be honest, he's maintained position. He did a great job. He led his first ever sprint race. So to be honest, I didn't even realize that Lewis has never led a sprint race before. It kind of, even during the Merck dominance of when sprint races started, you thought, oh, maybe he did. No, it was all Bottas. Bottas was the sprint race king at Mercedes during the early years. So I guess that leaves one more team, Dev, and that is Red Bull. Fierce and dominant overlords. Max Verstappen overtakes Lewis Hamilton midway through the race and then proceeds to finish 13 seconds ahead. And Checo bided his time behind the Ferraris and then did a nice little, I guess you could say, a through goes Hamilton move on the Aston Martin and the Ferrari, took P3 and was then chasing Lewis at the end. You know, Checo is doing a great job and Max is absolutely doing what he does best.
Yeah, I think I'll begin my thoughts by just stating that what a fantastically different result today with Verstappen winning yet another battle. But I think full credit to him, you know, starting from fourth and then finishing off and within real exaggerated margin of 13 and a half seconds. I think tremendous effort there by Max Verstappen leaves little to doubt as to who the commanding driver on the track could be in the next few hours from now. But I think full credit to Sergio Perez as well, because I think from lap 1 to 10, he was constantly bringing down the gap to Carlos Sainz. And I think on the straights, he was perhaps taking a tenth out of the Ferrari ahead. And then eventually, you know, that interesting scrap where suddenly the battle between Alonso and Sainz was suddenly, it just widened and put the Red Bull and Ferrari into the picture. So it was an interesting battle for 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then through goes Perez actually sort of happened right there. And I think as far as this season is concerned, it seems like Sergio Perez is pretty much, he's not defensive. He's really performing with a very attacking mindset out there. That's the feeling that I get. And definitely with talks being louder that, you know, Red Bull are looking for slightly, you know, a younger teammate for Max Verstappen in the forthcoming seasons, it seems that the real Sergio Perez has, you know, he has risen inside and he's bringing forth the performances that we expect from the talented Mexican. And I think definitely Red Bull are going to be the car to beat once again as another race weekend, you know, dawns upon us. But can the Ferraris take the fight to Red Bull? Can Sainz once again, you know, find a way to nudge ahead? I think this will be one of the most important questions, right?
I saw the little raised eyebrow from Tom when you said the talented Checo Perez. I don't know, Tom, are you ready to sombrero bet again for this season?
I'm more than happy to take that on. I don't think he'll ever win another race.
Fair enough. I will not be the one betting against you. Just going to say, yeah, I respect my own dignity. So that is the end of the podcast. A fairly uneventful Chinese sprint race. A lot of just DRS trains, but there definitely was some action here and there. So before we finish up, I would like to give guests a chance to promote whatever they wish to promote within reason. So Tom, we'll start with you. Where can our listeners find more?
You can find more from us. Please, everyone, come and subscribe to YouTube and come and have a listen to us in the chat, because I've had a great time in the chat today between comments, and it'd be great to have more people in the chat besides just Jared Bradley, who is always good value in the chat. So thank you to him. And you can also come and see me at the Monkey Seat Podcast on the socials at Monkey Seat Pod. We're basically Grid Talk, myself and Carl, just basically talking rubbish about Formula One. So yeah, come and give us a shout.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. And Jared?
Yeah, so you can find more from me on a website called theraw.com.au/motorsport. So I do all of the live blogs for the Grand Prix, not the sprint. So you can catch me if you're not in the Slack chat or, you know, watching the race elsewhere, live blogging the race tomorrow. So yeah, and you'll find other pieces I've done for them as well there.
Excellent. And finally from you, Dev?
Yeah, so you can find some of my work on F1 FormulaOneChronicle.com, which I have the pleasure of co-founding with the incredible author Jared Patridge. And I write some F1 content for KairoSports.com. That's K-Y-R-O, not C-A-I-R-O. So that's pretty much it.
Okay, brilliant. And if you want to find more from the Grid Talk podcast, as you can see just above Tom's head, if you're watching on YouTube or if you're listening, it is at Grid Talk UK on all socials, whether that's X, Threads, YouTube, Instagram, any social media that you want to follow us on, it is at Grid Talk UK. So that is all of us today. If you did enjoy this podcast, please make sure to subscribe, because we go live when we do any race review, be that sprint race, actual race, we go live. You can join in the chat, ask us questions, you know, give us your thoughts. We always want to hear what you guys think about these races, what's going on. You know, are you a fan of the new sprint format? And then, of course, if you do subscribe, make sure to hit the notification bell, because that will let you know as soon as we go live so you can jump in on the action. If you are listening to us on Spotify or Apple Music, please give us a 5-star review. That would be amazing. And we are available on a multitude of other podcasting platforms. So Amazon Fire, Spotify, Apple Music, Verbal, Pocket Cast. If you do listen to us on Google Podcasts, you might want to find yourself a new one, because I believe it is shutting down very soon. We have hundreds of shows for you to go listen to on those platforms. So if you're stuck with something to do between now and qualifying in a couple of hours or even the race tomorrow, give one of our shows a listen. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights and better recording equipment. And that is pretty much all from me. We'll be back tomorrow live, obviously, after the Chinese Grand Prix, the first full Chinese Grand Prix in 5 years. So thank you very much for listening to the Grid Talk podcast presented by Bets Online. Goodbye.